Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Hey, this is Jake Baker. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all. Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 13. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
You can follow us on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Rock Paper Podcast. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate it. Our guest this week, we just finished watching him host an open mic here at the Funny Bone in St. Louis. Be very funny just from talking to him, Jake Baker, who, let me say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in Jesus until this point because he looks like Jesus. And I may be now converting to Christianity because he is right in front of me.
Jake
Baker is Jesus.
I'm thanks. The son of comedy.
That's right, yeah. So thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for having me.
It was
Rock, Papers, is...
We got a sweet makeshift studio we got built here.
I know.
Two benches together. We're out just kind of sitting out back.
We're in the Westport, beautiful Westport Plaza.
That's right. See, we were going to go by this fountain, but you informed us it was also a rape zone.
Yeah.
We would be raped.
It's really rapey over there. I like it.
So we decided maybe we'll back off on the rape and just do a nice family show.
I don't know. That would have been a pretty interesting podcast to record.
Yeah.
After about
a half hour, people would be like, this is just disturbing. I don't know if I can listen to it anymore. It's horrible.
We actually didn't choose because it was too rapey. Too loud by the traffic.
The rape
is secondary, but we just liked that as an excuse better.
I was driving by that I needed an excuse so I didn't sound soft, you know? I don't want to be vulnerable. So you're...
I have a thing about rape jokes is they're only funny if they're forced. Is that funny or not? I
haven't been raped, so I'm okay with it. However, people have been raped.
Do you know what I like about this Westport Plaza thing outside is I feel like we actually are under lighting.
I know.
You know what I mean?
We should have.
And then we have the sounds of nature behind us.
Should have brought a
camera. Locusts or like, is it? And some crickets.
Maybe some
frogs.
Maybe
cicadas.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
It's very, yeah, I feel like there's something that's going to happen after this. It's just going to be love at first sight.
It is, well, it's kind of setting the mood for rape. That's what we do. Westport Plaza. The slogan for this place shouldn't even be, it should be Westport Plaza. Just a little cooler than Wentzville. You know, like, that's it, don't you think?
I'm from Wentzville, and I can confirm.
Just a little cooler.
A little cooler than Wentzville.
Just a little cooler.
They get a Best Buy over here. I'm going to have to disagree, though. You know, that's just how it is. So you're living in LA right now.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what it's like. Obviously, you do probably stand up out there as well, right? So is there a difference when you go, because LA is like the hotspot for just entertainment in general. So is it,
It's also the hotspot for crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you know how like bugs are attracted to a light?
Yeah.
It's like a big giant light. You know what I mean? And it's like warm. So it's like the worst kind there is.
Yeah.
It attracts every kind of crazy in the world, especially because it's Hollywood or it's Los Angeles. The kinds of crazies who flock there, it's like, I fit right in. I'm one of them. You know what I mean?
How long have you
been living? I'm there too.
How long have you been
living in LA? A couple of years now, 2 years now. I moved there in 2012, but I actually have a long history with LA because I'm from there. I lived there as a kid.
Okay.
So all my aunts and uncles and cousins, my grandparents, they live there now. So I'm getting to hang out with my family again.
That's always good.
It's like getting reacquainted. I actually lived there in college too. For 3 years. So I'm really, it wasn't really that much of an adjustment for me, but this is the first time I've lived there as an adult doing stand up.
Yeah.
So it's been a while, man, but I like it. And I know plenty of people there already, so that's not really an issue. And
is there a different vibe being out there when you do, like, when you do a show?
Yeah, they're much shorter. The sets are shorter, you know? Like, and I still get, you know, some of these dudes are real cool to me, and they'll give me longer sets. And a longer set with there would be anywhere from, like, you know, 12 minutes on to, you know, about 20, but that's rare. Most of the time it's, I'm not even kidding, like, five, sevens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get 7 and 9s a lot.
Okay.
It's like, so it's right around there. And so you end up doing a different style of comedy. You know, when you're doing 40 minutes, you know, you can address a subject and you can kind of play with it a little bit. You can work with some tags and go around it. and toy with the subject more.
Yeah.
When you're doing a shorter set, you just want to just do the best line and then move on.
Right.
And do the best line and move on. And so it's like, for me, I've always been a dude who started doing comedy in 2000 and then, like, driving circles around the Midwest for, you know, 12 years.
Yeah.
You get to a point where it's like, well, all right, now you start to become a feature act, and then you start to, like, headline, like I'm doing this week here at the Funny Bone, and you get to... but you never really learned that other style, you
right.
know? And so, like, I'm kind of at a point where it's like, well, shit, I just drove around the country for 10 years. Nobody knows who I am, so I might as well learn a different way,
that's
a style
saying,
of comedy. And so...
Is that why you... Obviously, family in L.A., but is that why you went back to L.A.?
Was right, because, it was, yeah, for both reasons, actually, because, number one, it seemed like a natural progression if you're going to go to a bigger city. Which is nice to go to a city where you see great comics, dudes who you watch and you're like, I'll probably never be that good. You know, and it's nice to see that because it really raises the bar. It makes you work harder.
Right.
When if you stay in a place where you're fairly content and you get to work a lot and, you know, it's like you kind of feel confined in how much you get to grow because, especially for me, I've moved in a lot of cities and different areas. I don't like to rely too much on local humors. You know, I like to be able to take that joke and know that it's going to work on the opposite end of the country.
Yeah.
So
when you're developing like your set, do you take it all from like current events type things? Like, do you look at, say, let's like Ferguson going on? I heard a couple guys tonight. Kind of.
I might touch on it, but rarely do I center my ideas on. I don't use current events very rarely because they pass too quickly.
Yeah.
You don't really get enough time to really polish them. I mean, they're great and fun while they're there. And
they're
I think it's a great way to fill time and to address what everybody's kind of going through and feeling.
Yeah.
But I never rely on them like as a... I have so many jokes that like I write them all in my notebook longhand. Mm-hmm. And then after I'm done with the notebook, I'll go through the notebook and manually put them into a computer of like by topic, essentially. You know,
right.
And I break them down. So oftentimes I'll find like at the beginning, it takes me a couple of months sometimes to fill out a notebook. So, like, I'll read a joke, and I'm like, oh, that's funny, but it's so dated, I could never do it again.
Exactly.
You know, like, you know, like, there's so many jokes I remember writing that, and I never even once even told it in any area. I remember when that chick was talking about, like, Santa and Jesus were white. You know,
oh,
that was,
yeah.
like, one of my favorite things
yeah.
ever. And it was like, yeah, of course, I guess, you know, like, Santa and Jesus, you know they're both white because neither one of them have actually delivered. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
On their word, it's like...
Yeah, it makes sense.
I look like Jesus. I get that all the time. Chicks are always like, you look like Jesus. And I'm like, Jesus was black, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah. The American...
Like, pull your pants down, let me see. Or like, or the... Jesus was black. Or like, one girl's like, how do you know? I'm like, because he was supposed to be back already.
Right. That's why, well, yeah, because you're right. And I think about that with like... stuff, current events, it's going to get dated so quick. So maybe it's something you can use as like a, like I said, yeah, fill in.
Right,
or
it's
like
fun.
An improv off the cuff, say, oh, you know, if something comes up, you can use it from there. But yeah, you're right. You
very similar, like when you're in the room and you're having these moments and sharing them with strangers who you don't know, like when you address what's going on, if something weird happens or there's an interaction, when you address those things, we all have fun as a group, you know what I mean? Because everybody's on board, everybody knows what we're talking about. So, like, you know, if you're a comic and you've got a couple of, you know, good jokes about this or that or, you know, like, whatever's going on in the city, if it matches up, you know, people are on board with it, you know? And you can take the opposite approach, too, which I've found in certain cities. Like, St. Louis is like this, Chicago's like this, where you can kind of make fun of their city and then they kind of get defensive on you, like, boo! And it's like, come on. You're a human being, you're an adult, you really have to react like that, you know? Like,
well,
you can't know that you're being, you know... razzed a little bit, that you're being chastised a little, you know, like,
I think people,
boom!
And the people who laugh are probably like, yeah, he's right. You
yeah,
know?
That's right, you know,
totally,
like.
Totally true.
I remember years ago, I used to make fun of that all the time with Pujols, you know, I'm like, there's no way that dude's going to stay here, you know, people are like, he just wants to win,
don't
and all kinds of crap. I'm like,
five.
Are you out of your mind? So
yeah.
Dude's going to take the biggest paycheck he could possibly get, you know, like. I couldn't stop laughing about that, you know, you see what I mean? It's like, why are you taking it personal anyway?
Right.
The guy doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter to you, really, does it? You know,
he'd probably laugh at it. Why would
That's what I mean. It's so funny.
Jeez.
Well, yeah, we're right next to Pujols 5. Right,
what
you
know, used to be?
What used to be? Yeah, the
did he take it to Anaheim with him or Los Angeles?
It's
the Angels, one, right? Los Angeles. Yeah. So are you an angel? Or do you follow any sports or anything?
Professional basketball.
Oh yeah,
I'm obsessed. It's hard to even say obsessed is like a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I have a Twitter account strictly dedicated to NBA humor. Really? If that tells you anything. At NBA Snaps.
There you go. Do you run? Or is it one you follow?
I run it by myself. Okay, gotcha, it's just me.
That's why I didn't know, like, if it was like...
Because I read about the basketball every day. And here's the thing is, like, you can't... I got to a point where I didn't want to even put it on my Twitter anymore. Nobody cares about me and my basketball shit. Oh, yeah. So I just started, you know, putting it on my own Twitter account. Yeah. It's just basketball, you know, tweets about the NBA.
Yeah.
It's very niche, you know. And you have to be a basketball fan to get half of it. There's no way you could read it and even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun for me because it's a weird outlet for... I mean, I read about basketball sometimes before I even check my email or look at my phone when I wake up. And that's, you know, does that tell you anything? It's like, you know, before, you know, it's like I'm smoking pot and reading about basketball before I brush my teeth sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not good, you know.
It's
like,
not good.
And so, like, you get to this outlet, though, where it's like, this is a ridiculous story. This is crazy. And so then you have to make fun of it, you know. And NBA Snaps, people, jump on board.
There you go.
There's some good ones. I got about 405 right now, so I would statistically say, this is me being very rough on myself, that there's probably 40 pieces of gold in there.
Yeah.
And about 75 gems, you know what I mean? And the rest of it's just like, you're not going to understand.
Doing this podcast, you may get possibly a new 2 to 3 listeners.
I hope so.
Followers.
It's going to be you two.
It's going to be me. It's going to be us. And then the website, or the podcast
I
handle.
Hope so.
So you'll be set.
NBA Snaps is a good one, you know, like... And sometimes it's been like in the off season, I'll take some time off away from it. But.
Well, and there's only so much news too.
Right, there's only so much you can cover. But anytime there's any new news, I'm all over it. It's just
I used to be a big basketball.
Yeah, basketball. It's like it's a weird one with me, man.
Yeah,
I was all over pro ball until pretty much Jordan left. Like,
I think that's what happened to a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know?
So.
I mean, for me, like, let alone, you know, not just because of him, but like, I don't know, I felt the game changed a little bit to me, like.
It's changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
But, you know, Shaq kind of changed basketball, and nobody ever talks about it, is that when Shaq started dominating the way he did, they started allowing zone defenses again.
Yeah.
In Jordan's day, they didn't allow zone defense. You weren't allowed to double-team a dude until he had the basketball. Now you can double-team dudes like LeBron, you can play off the ball and keep them. That's how the Spurs kept LeBron from scoring, you know, like... Yeah. He scored 1.4 points in the fourth quarter of that series.
Jeez.
They locked him down from playing zone defense, essentially. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think they can illegal defense is like they don't call that in the NBA. When you allow a zone, it's very hard to call that the right way.
It's such
a weird thing.
Too, is being in St. Louis. You know, there's no basketball team, and that's hard. I've lived in Charlotte with the Hornets during that time, and Denver. So we always had a basketball.
It's Charlotte
team.
It's Hornets again.
I know. I was so happy about that too.
Yeah, they signed Lance Stephenson. They swiped him away from the Pacers.
I had the Hornets starter jacket.
That team's gonna be tough, dude.
I was kind of excited.
Kemba Walker, Lance Stephenson. Are you kidding, Michael Gilchrist? That guy's nothing but defense. That's going to be a good team. And Al Jefferson plays really good basketball. Averaged pretty much a double-double last year.
You're going to be making up names at this point for me.
Oh, man. I get excited about stuff like that because I like young teams that have found a way to kind of rebuild themselves, you know, even though, like, they have zero expectations put on them. And then they make one good move, like getting a guy like Al Jefferson, and everyone's like, that guy's not a team player. Well, dude, they just got to the playoffs now, so now what?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty diehard hockey fan, but basketball, like I said, just because I moved away from
it. I get hockey. Hockey's kick-ass live, man.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't understand what hockey's about, it's because you've never been to a live hockey game. That's why. If you go to just one live game, you'll understand the difference.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I don't even know how to explain it. There's a vibe in the air that makes you yell at people.
Just makes you want to go. Just fight.
Right. Well, and there's so many moments of like, oh,
right,
you know, there's so many of those.
That's my favorite.
You're holding, and then the whole crowd, oh!
Those false stand-ups.
There's so many disappointment moments.
Such heart.
Whereas basketball, it's just constant offense, you know. Yeah. It's like offense, 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 offense. And then you have these, every now and again, you see these great defensive plays, and you get those moments of, whoa!
Yeah, where the crowd will go nuts on it.
But hockey has those moments all the time because it's like, it's a defensive game. And that's what's so cool about
it. Yeah, kind of the low scoring thing. So I kind of, as I was sitting there, this is the first time I've been out to the Funny Bone in forever. Only the second time. So, and I think it was the first like open mic I've seen. Do you remember, you know, a couple of the guys get up there, and this is absolutely, I understand, like you could tell they're kind of nervous.
Yeah.
So do you remember your first time, like what your experience was? Was it
I had already actually, I listened to a lot of comedy growing up. I mean, I have to put that out there. I knew exactly how it worked. I mean, when I was a teenager, I used to go to my neighbor's house, Matt, because he had cable. My parents were just too poor for it. But they had A&E Evening at the Improv. So, like, I always liked stand-up, and any time I got a chance to watch it in any form, I always watched it. Yeah. So I kind of had an idea of how comedy works. I really think that that's how anybody gets involved in anything, is that you hear enough of it where you say to yourself, well, I have a taste for what I like and what I don't like. I can kind of discern if somebody's good or not, you know? Yeah. And then what it is you have a taste. You can discriminate with taste, and, you know, and then you start using that for yourself. You're like, well, if I can discriminate, well, then I can start doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, you know, acid taught me that. I know that sounds crazy, It taught me another thing, too, is that with video game controllers, you know, like, people get so good playing video game controllers. I'm like, do you have any idea that it takes the same skills to learn an instrument? But you just learned an instrument with your hands because you have more fun doing that than when you would be sitting down and just learning something, you know, like, it's the same thing. You're still using your hands and you're still using your coordination and your movement. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's just that we're more interested in doing that. There's so many people who would be so great at instruments, but they're fucking too busy playing video games.
Right. Yeah, and then they get Rock Band, and they're like, oh, this is how you play guitar, and they're like, not really, but good try, man.
But going back to using your taste and discriminating what you think is good or not, and I went to a live show, stand-up show, and I remember watching the comic being like, oh, he was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking in my head, it wasn't that funny, and then there's that small part of your brain, and you're like, I could probably do better than that. Right. And I think anybody thinks that when they see somebody making it easy.
Right.
When you see somebody being up there just being natural and not really forcing all these great jokes and just whatever, you know, and just talking, you're like, man, this guy's not that funny. I can do that. Well, guess what? He's doing a really good job if he makes you believe that it's that easy to stand up there and do that.
Yeah. Well,
you know? And that's what I didn't realize until I was like, this chick that I worked with was like, they have open mic there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'll go check out an open mic.
Yeah.
And so I had my teeth pulled. I just had my wisdom teeth pulled, I remember. I had the days off from work, and I was like, let's go check out the open mic. No one wanted to go with me. I forced my friends to go with me. And so then I was kind of all doped up, I guess, from the medication and stuff. And then I remember watching the first guy. I'm like, this guy's not that funny. I remember saying it to my friend. I'm like, this dude's not very funny. And he goes, yeah, he's not. He goes, you'll probably do better than this because you're, like, going up there almost next. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, we signed you up, so you're going up tonight. Dude, you forced us to come here, so we know this is why you're fucking. I'm like, what are you, you know, I wasn't ready in my mind. I'm like, what are you, you know. They're like, just do it, you know. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? They're like, why don't you just tell the same story you've been telling every chick in every bar that you've been going to, the same bullshit, your same charm. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right.
So it was your first time?
Yeah, and so, like, I just went up and was like, you know what, fuck it. And I went up and did it, and I did really well. And I think it was because I didn't, I mean, like, I had some jokes that I wanted to try. Don't get me wrong. I had been thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I had some stuff. So I was able to spit it out, but, like, only for what I could remember, and the rest of it was just stories that I had always told, so it was really easy, and then they had lines that already worked. I knew, you know what I mean? Yeah. My friends were right. Just tell the same stories you tell.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's pretty good advice.
I think one of the big keys with just when you watch comedians is just how natural they look when you do it, because when they can kind of flow with the jokes and it doesn't sound like they're just sitting there thinking, okay, what's the next joke? You know, when they're just as if they're having a conversation.
And that's what happened, is I got lucky. Yeah. I got really fucking lucky. And it was my first time. And nobody tells you later on that your first time, everybody's super nice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody tells you that. Yeah. So, like, the second time, I was all cocky, arrogant, like, I'm a natural. This is my shit right here, you know? And then I ate shit for 7 minutes straight. And I had no business doing 7 minutes, first of all. Yeah. But that's how the rules were. You signed up, and there was nobody in that damn town. It was me, another dude named Richie Holiday, who... Richie's doing really great. He's doing mostly colleges and cruise boats and stuff. He doesn't waste his time with, you know, he makes real money. And then this other dude named Mr. Willie, who's like 85 now, and he's awesome. Huh. You know, like, he's got this like vaudeville New York accent from Springfield, Missouri. He's, dude, if you ever get the chance, he's like novelty act. He's one of the best. I brought him to St. Joe with me one time on a gig.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, because I knew this guy would do well on the road in a place like St. Joe, you know? And this was, like, by Kansas City?
Yeah, I went to school up in Maryville.
Oh, right on, dude. And dude, I took him up there, and dude, fucking I didn't know if I was gonna be able to follow him. Dude crushed it so hard, because like they'd never seen anything like that, you know. And he tells, and he's like 80 years old, and he's like, I had to whack off 3 times this morning just to get my heart started. And they, you could see how like people in a small town could really love that kind of thing, like an old man just crushing it.
Yeah.
So. Probably. I always feel like, man, every time I go to Springfield, I let Mr. Willie, he opens for me, and like everybody who comes to my shows always is just like, oh, this guy again. And I'm like, I don't give a shit what you guys think. This is for me. You know what I mean? Like, and I want to watch this dude fucking, I always tell him to do like, keep it tight, no longer than 10, Willie, and then he does like 20. He doesn't care. He's old. You know, he's no sense of time. He's doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Why would you? You're old. You don't care. Right. You know what I mean?
His own rules.
He's awesome. He walks everywhere. And I'm like, do you want to ride? And he's like, no, no, I got to walk. I got to walk. I'm like, why? He's like, I got to keep my hips strong. If I break a hip, my life is over. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, so.
One of those just awesome
He's
guys.
Crazy, man. So crazy. I love him. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. He was on probation. Somebody hit him with his car, and he beat him with his walking stick. He beat their car. Oh, dude, how are you over 80 years old and on probation?
Right.
How was that? Anyway, that's awesome.
He's on it. Yeah. So,
So that was my first time, I remember, pretty distinctly, dude.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty interesting first time.
And then
sure.
the second one was even... The one, I just remember that way more distinctly. Eating shit for 7 minutes, just like... And I got home thinking, you know what? That only made me mad. It disappointed me. I disappointed myself. You know, I knew I could do better and shit. And so that's really when I got hooked, was when I bombed, not when I fucking did well.
Right.
That's it. I mean, I try to explain that to people all the time.
Yeah.
I actually got hooked when I bombed, not when I did well. I did, you know, like I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, like I was excited to do it again.
Yeah.
But I wasn't hooked. I can tell you that.
Right.
I got hooked when I was like, I can do this,
right,
you know, like I can, you know what, there's no way I can do worse than that. I can do this. I can make this work. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot of things.
And from the minute I started doing open mic, I quit my job 3 months later.
Oh, well,
I'm not even kidding. I worked there for 4 years, Kraft Foods, and just was like, I'm done. I was washing my hands. I had a hairnet on, earplugs in my ear, and I fucking was washing my hands, and it dawned on me. I'm like, dude, if you don't quit now, you're going to be 60 years old, still wearing a hairnet, still wearing earplugs. You're just going to be wearing a different uniform.
Right.
You know.
So, sometimes you got to take that dive to force yourself to do it. Yeah, because otherwise you got the security.
That's what I mean. Whatever, you could always tend to rely on that and just... You know, and I had that fleeting thought of like, you know what, you could work third shift and still do the shows in time and then make it to work and you still have a job, you know, but it's like, no, I don't, you know, I just don't, I put it behind me.
Yeah.
I decided that it was like, you know, I got to a point where it was, I knew that if I didn't, like Shane's saying, if you don't just like, if you don't gain anything by putting, you know, 1 foot in and 1 foot out.
Right.
I mean, you have to go all in, you know, in order to win. And so, I just did it. And I've been broke ever since. And it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, but you love, I mean, that's kind of like that thing that people say.
It's been pretty awesome.
As long as you love what you're doing. I mean, obviously, you got to pay the bills, but, you know.
I use the same philosophy now. It's like, it can't get worse.
Right. Well, yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? It's the same philosophy in action.
Yeah.
It's like, it just makes you work harder. I enjoy it. It used to be disappointing sometimes, but, you know, like, I see a lot of guys in L.A., man, who... They're not very good, but they work hard, and they work, you know, and they work fucking 50 times harder than I do, and there's no way I could ever get mad at a dude who works harder than me.
Mm-hmm.
Never, never, never. It never bothers me, you know? I'm like, that dude works hard, you know? Like, do I reserve my judgment for how funny he is? Like,
yeah.
He probably knows he's not that funny. That's why he works so goddamn hard, you know? Like, that's why.
Yeah.
And so everybody's different. There's no real way. There's no real formula. There's no true avenue. Everybody's climbing the same mountain. Everybody's taking a different route. You know, some people are choppering. They're fucking way up and cheating, and that happens. But, you know, like, how can you sustain yourself? It's like once you climb a real mountain like that, everybody knows it's like reaching the top is one thing. Climbing back down is actually a little harder.
Right. Well, I got to imagine, too, in Los Angeles, it's almost like a double-edged sword where that's kind of the place you can go to make things happen in a sense, but also... It's so saturated because that's where everybody goes.
So saturated.
And it's got
to
be like...
And, you know, you get on a... You know, you work years to get on... Months to get on a spot. And then, you know, Dave Attell shows up. Louis C.K. shows up. And you're like, well, sorry, bro. You know, it's so like...
Right.
You're right. Because who the fuck am I? You can't even argue with it.
Yeah.
You know, so...
That's how I follow some of those guys. some of the guys on, you know, social media, and you'll see some pictures of like set list, and like you'll see this specific, you know, Bill
and
Burr
then dudes and just drop Houston by, and like, then you're really out of it.
Yeah, and it's just like this lineup is stacked, and like you said, everybody doing like 7 to 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and it's just like, bumping guys like that are actually hustling, trying to do it, and like. That's gotta stink. So, yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think it happens that often. And most of those guys are really cool. They're most of the time they'll let you. I mean, I'm not saying it even happens to me very much. I don't. Saying that like those guys are generally pretty cool about it, and they'll usually go up to the dude that they bump and like, hey, I'm sorry, but at the same time, the dude that's being bumped has to understand.
Right.
You have to understand.
Especially like Dave Attell and those guys who. Even
if those guys are working on something less prepared, and they don't, you know, maybe they didn't come with. It doesn't matter because the crowd knows who they are, sure, you know, right. And it lends more credibility to the club, and for you to even be upset about it, you know, like, I've never had a problem with that, and yeah. I never will. I never ever, you know, right. Like, who the fuck am I? I mean, I walk around L.A., and it's like, there's a whole bunch of other people be like, I'm fucking somebody, and then, like, there's guys like me, like, who the fuck am I? Like, why am I even here, you know, like, but in reality, it's just about the connections. You can go there, that's a big pond. You learn from the best. You'll probably never be the best. You're never going to be the best, but you can learn from these guys, and you can go watch them, and you know, like, the just being having on any given night, you know, you bump into dude and you meet somebody you've never met. Hey, this is Jim Gaffigan, you know, or hey, this is Craig Robinson. It's like, those are cool nights when that happens,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And so it's nice to watch everybody else how they did their thing and how they. And I watch the dudes who've been around L.A. for fucking 20 years. They don't get any more respect than anybody else does. It's like, that city just lends itself to be like that. Like, nobody gives a shit what you're doing, honestly. Yeah. You have to start over, and it's nice.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, unless you're hot, you're hot.
Yeah. And you hear people say, and you know, well, if everybody's an actor or everybody's a, you know, and it's just like, you just got to prove it and show up and just do your thing and not worry about it. Somebody says, you're hot stuff, you know, it's like, you just got to go out and do it, you know, because...
You go out and do your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to... I mean, and that's the thing is, like, once you show up, you really can't just be dicking around. You really got to fucking crush just so people know who you are first. And
yeah.
I can't say I've done a very good job of always doing that, but you try, you know, and it's like... LA is a very strange, you know, because you have... it from area to area, you have to start figuring it out culturally. But at the same time, when you... having a lot of experience being on the road and doing... shows for, you know, so many years, and bars and country clubs and, you know, charity events and outside events and tents and concerts, and once you've done every, you know, like, there's not a whole lot of things you can throw me at, like, oh, there's only 7 people. I don't give a shit. I'm gonna make that work, you know, like, that's the thing about it is when you have experience like that, people know when you have chops. It shows every time. Every time. You know, and so, like, that's the one thing that having experience counts for. But, you know, the other thing is, like, the, you know, people have made jokes about before is they're always like, what else can you do? It's like, well, shit, what else do I need to do?
Yeah.
But it is a business. And so as a comic, you think to yourself, well, shit, what side of comedy do I really fall into? I mean, am I a writer? Am I an actor? Or am I... a producer? Do I like to make short films? Do I want to be an improv sketch actor? Do I want to, like, where are you going with this? You know, and that's the thing LA teaches you very quick. In the Midwest, you can just do it, be a dude who does stand up.
Right.
When you get there, it's like, so what do you do? No, oh, we get you do comedy, but Tom is, you know, he's an actor. He does stand up.
Yeah. So do you have, like, kind of an ultimate goal of where you want to be, like, in terms of you love, is it just you want to do the stand-up, and that's, because, I mean, that's...
That's kind of been my issue, is that I don't put an overall goal.
Yeah, and...
I've never had one.
Yeah, I mean, you're enjoying what you're doing, you know?
I really do. It's very odd.
Yeah.
But I'm getting to a point where I'm starting to just slowly put my projects together.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, like, L.A. has taught me that you have to work on other things. And so I have worked on other things. I don't want to... put too much, you know, say more than, you know, but I've written a couple of things, that's what, but I like, and I'll jump on people, you know, like people who have online shows or whatever, they have like web series, I sometimes make guest appearances and stuff like that, like, so I do have fun on stuff like that, but, but I would never consider myself an actor, or I would never consider myself a writer, like, I don't really, you know.
Yeah, well, I think if you ask any comedian who's maybe had success as an you know, in the movie industry or TV, they'd probably tell you, I'm a comedian first. I'm not an actor. I'm not, you know, and a lot of them have stayed true to go and still
that's
do
what
it.
And that's kind
of
where I want to keep it. I mean, I would love to do other things, but at the same time, you know, like, the only other thing I could really see myself doing is like a comic strip.
Yeah.
You know, because that's something that's, a lot of the jokes that I write, sometimes they're more appropriate for reading than they are for saying out loud.
Yeah. So who were kind of, I mean, it's going to be a generic question, but what kind of comedians or influences? I know you said you kind of watched them. Were there any that, like, couple
so many and there's so many guys that people don't even know about who I love so dearly, you know. Like, I'll always love Paul Provenza so much, always have, always will. It's like guys like that, you know. But I grew up watching a lot of those dudes, you know, from the time I was a kid, so it's hard to say that why I love guys or what I've learned from guys, you know. I still have old Red Fox party albums I listen to on vinyl, and it's like half of it's just street jokes, and it doesn't matter, because I think that as long as it's like what Willie Nelson said, it doesn't matter if I wrote the song, as long as everybody likes it.
Right.
It's true, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but it does, you know, with comedians, you know, the integrity is kind of everything. And so it is kind of a big deal, but at the same time, if you listen to enough comedy albums and enough comedy records and read enough joke books and vaudeville, your joke's been done probably already. Yeah. And in a much cleverer way than the way you're doing it, you know. So a lot of people love to claim stake on material or premise, and it's like, dude, come on, like, you've got to be shitting me. That joke was probably actually done by some dude who was trying to be Mark Twain, you know, in 1880 whatever.
Yeah,
you know, like,
there's so many scenarios that can be set out, and people are gonna say, oh, you probably stole that. It's like, that's, there's been 4 million trillion people that walked across the street and gave it, you know. It's not as mean they're stealing stuff or whatever. So
I mean, that's kind of If you ask a comic and he's like, well, my job is to say out loud the things that other people wish they could say out loud, right? Well, then that would definitely include the idea that everything that you're saying isn't that fucking original. What you're saying is actually agreeing with other people everywhere, what they've thought in their head already, they just haven't said out loud. You know what I mean? So you can't be both of those, asshole. Pick one, you know, like... You can't be an everyday guy and then still fucking be completely original.
Right.
You know, like.
I was just curious, as I saw you get it, because you hosted tonight for the opening.
Yeah, Matt asked me if I wanted to host. I like adding extra money on my paycheck at the end of the week. I charge him a little more to host, too, which is always really funny. And then the other part about that is that I like meeting the open mic guys in that capacity much more than I like just coming out and doing a set and working on a bunch of new stuff for myself, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so
I plan on doing a pretty tight set this week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I already know what all of it is, and it's hard for me to get excited about it, and I don't want to... With open mic, if I'm doing a set to work on new things, it's taking me away from that.
Right.
I just want to stay focused on what I'm doing this
week.
That's
why I was just curious if there's a different prep for... Because you still come up and kind of throw some jokes out in between sets. So, is there a different prep? Obviously, you're going to save your kind of better stuff for your actual set, but do you prepare differently when you're hosting, or is it kind of just you're able to just go there?
No, and that's what I told these guys. I was making fun of it. I said, Matt, dude, should I even bother doing any time up front? I have to bring up 20 people, you know? I have to go up to the stage 40 times when you break it down, dude.
Yeah.
And can I do it from the back of the room? He goes, hey, if you don't want to do it, I'm like, I'm not saying I don't want to do it. I'm saying that you have a microphone when you introduce people in the back of the room. Why don't you let me use that to do it?
Yeah.
I could just save myself a walking trip, but, you know, he didn't think it was funny.
Yeah.
Or a good idea. He thought it was unprofessional. I was like, whatever, I'll just go up there, which is really funny. But in that capacity, I just like talking about whatever and just going with
that's
not being prepared at all. It seems to me like, well, we're all here, you know, like, and you guys are really here to watch your friends, you know.
Well,
you're not really just here for me.
More observational, because when you come up and if you'd make a joke, it was something about, you know, maybe some other topic that's mail session. It wasn't like you just came up and you're going through.
It is kind of in a little more L.A., I'll give it that. And the reason being is like, sometimes when you do a room in Los Angeles with 7 people, like I just talked about, 4 of them will be comedians. So for you to just go up there and do jokes, sometimes they're just they like to be tricked into believing that you're so clever that you're just making shit up. You know, but I noticed that the people who are really good at that just disguising their material into their conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, that's how you do it. Yeah. Right. Like, you're very sneaky on how you do that.
Yeah. Well, you definitely brought a good vibe to, especially like those guys, it was their first time, you know. You had a lot of energy that kind of kept it going, because like I said, with so many comedians, when you're kind of going off the list of all these people, you know, you kind of keep the vibe good for these guys that come up for the first time, and I think probably adds a little bit of comfort to them. But also, you know, keeps the crowd into it, because like you said, after
you have take control. That's the good thing about open mic, is you have to treat it like that's your show. Hey, I put this whole thing together for you guys. Look at all these dudes I brought up for, you know, for your enjoyment, you know, like, and I'm going to bring them up in a specific order, and, you know, like, but it's like, that's kind of the job. You're the master of ceremonies. That's what MC means. Yeah. So they why don't you just play the part and do it up and have a little energy, you know? Like,
Well, it'll definitely help compared to just going up and being like, hey, guys, okay, that was cool. Let's have the next guy come up. You know, you at least, you know, and even a guy, you know, the guys who maybe didn't do as well, you know, or still, you kind of got the crowd behind them. And like I said, it was their first time. Everybody's always nice. And
they should be, you know? And like, think about it from the first timer's perspective. Think about a dude who, you know, maybe it took him months to actually work up the courage and to write down a set and, and to, you know, like, actually show up and then actually put your fucking name on that list and know that when you write first time next to it, guaranteed you're going to get a spot.
Yeah.
And now your name's on that list, and now once you put your name in, you can't turn back. I mean, there's been dudes where you call them up and they just leave. They don't even show up. They can't do it. You know what I mean? It's happened many, many a time, and that's just... Here, I've seen it happen all over the country, everywhere I've ever been.
Yeah.
Dudes, they put their name in, and then they're gone. They can't do it. Yeah. So think about that from that perspective. Like, the dudes who are like that, who once they're in, they're so scared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last thing they need is some guy being a fucking asshole to them, letting them know, oh, that wasn't funny, or, oh, is this your first time? Like, dude, fucking have a little compassion for somebody who just went out of their way to show up. In their first day at work, that's like somebody, if it was your first day at work, would you treat somebody like a complete fucking, I can't believe you don't know this already? Like, why would you do that to somebody, you know? So, like,
some of the other comedians we've talked to have kind of said that I think comedy is the hardest entertainment form to do, because you're not up there with a band, you're not up there, you're up there, and the hardest thing, you gotta make people laugh.
Yeah.
And people are cruel if they're not, that didn't make me laugh, so you're failing. It's like, maybe it was over your head and you're just not smart enough to get it, or maybe it just wasn't a good joke, but like, to get up there and do it, that's probably got more balls than
that's the hardest part. So it's like, so for the people sitting in the crowd gauging, that wasn't funny. Well, guess what, you're not the one up there telling the joke.
Exactly.
So what the fuck do you know what's funny or not, you know? Like,
I
say that all the time with crowds. I'm like, I don't even know if I need you to be here. I really just need to hear myself say this stuff out loud. Like, I don't, because I don't trust any of you, I'll tell you that. You know, like, you're the same people who fucking say stuff like too much information and, like, you know what I mean, that shit's not funny. But you're gonna tell me what's fucking what is and what isn't. I don't even know. I don't trust you people. You know what I mean? Like, why would I trust your sense of humor over my own? I do this for a living, you know? Like, like a prick thing to say to a crowd, but it's totally true.
Right. Have you ever had anybody just that, like, hecklers are just dicks that you're just like, guys, I mean, I'm sure that all comedians have, but have you ever had
hecklers come in all forms? There's mostly drunk people. Drunk people. People, comics are, once again, they look at this the wrong way, complete wrong way. I used to drink a lot. I used to drink every day, all right? I know the effects of alcohol. I used to be a bartender. I know the effects of alcohol. Drunk people are very repetitive. Drunk people are fucking very rude, but none of it's on purpose. They're just drunk. They don't know how to act, because that's why they're officially in the drunk category. Because if they were acting fucking normal, they wouldn't be considered drunk. So, of course, you know, when somebody's acting abnormally and you can tell it's visibly from alcohol, you can't get mad at that person in a weird way. It's like, there's a reason why they say, I love you and I'm sorry a million times in a row. It's because they don't remember saying it. That's a physiological issue. It has nothing to do with how stupid somebody is or how dumb someone is. So whenever somebody's like that in a crowd, it's like, okay, this person's clearly overserved. And if they're being disruptive, there's not a whole lot I can say to this person that they're going to remember later.
True.
Like, if I ream this dude and rip him a new asshole, 7 minutes from now, he's not going to fucking remember that whole thing.
Yeah.
And he's going to say the same shit over and over and over again. You know what I mean? So it's like,
You
have to assess what the problem is. Drunk women, probably the worst ever. And the reason is they don't understand the art of war. They don't understand the art of verbal war. Like, they don't understand when to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'd hate to say that way, but it's totally true. A drunk chick doesn't know when to shut up. It's like when the whole room, you can get a whole 300 people in unison to be like, shut the fuck up, and she'll keep talking. I'm not even kidding you. It's like, it's the most unbelievable thing you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying all drunk women are like that. I'm not generalizing. I'm not saying that at all. Please do not fucking be like, oh, this guy's that dude.
I'm going to title it now and be like, Jake, make the...
You know what I mean.
No, yeah, absolutely.
I thought I was a Parkside rapist. Yeah. And now I'm officially... Okay.
Now you're just... Yeah, you hate the women. You
think
they're all
down. I was the rapist by the pond. And now I'm like...
We're going to find the three worst categorizations for you and then let people vote on Twitter.
No, that's a, this guy. Yeah. No, he's a chauvinist.
Well, and now we have to say that before we started the podcast, we were talking about your challenge for Kenny Loggins at Badminton. So let's go into why there's like a challenge for Kenny Loggins, because you said some lady...
Oh, this chick comes up to me. I was at on Melrose at this show. And this chick comes up and she goes, you look like my dad. And I go, that's not a compliment when you tell somebody that they'll look at you like, you look like my dad. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, you don't think you look like Kenny Loggins? I'm like, that's not what you said. You said you look like my friend's dad or whatever. Yeah. You know, like, and it turned out it was Kenny Loggins. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, well, that's something different, you know. And then she goes, did you color your hair gray on purpose? I'm like, what kind of crazy person colors gray into their hair? You know, it's like, make me look like Rob Zombie. Nobody does that. That's, you know. And so she's like, can I get a picture with you? I'll show it to Kenny. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like the greatest day of my life.
Right.
Kenny Loggins is only going to know who I am because I'm his doppelganger. You know what I mean? Like, I'm his lookalike. You're going to be like, look at this dude that I met who looks just like you except young. And so then she's telling me that he's really good at badminton. I go, really? I was like, I will destroy him in badminton. You know, I will destroy Kenny Loggins in badminton. And it was just my way of talking shit to try to invite myself into a badminton match, because she's like, he's really good. And I'm like, ah, dude.
He could go pro, just saying.
I just wanted to see, because I was like, get me in an invitation. I want to hang out with Kenny Loggins.
But at least you have like a backup plan that if this comedy thing doesn't work out, isn't there like a thing in LA or in Hollywood?
I'm going to give up video games and I'm going to learn an instrument and I'm going to be a fucking
stand
Loggins and Messina cover band.
Stand on the, what is it, like the sidewalk where the guys are dressed like Michael Jackson. You can be the Kenny Loggins guy.
Kenny Loggins.
Like, it's Kenny Loggins, man. That's right.
Danger zone, bro.
Danger zone, man. Look, just have a Top Gun playing on a TV in the back.
Remember when they had that Caddyshack thing that would like stood upright and dance with the song? Like, I'll just have that on a corner next to me. Everybody will know after that.
Yeah, Michael Jackson, like, you know, life was good before that Kenny Loggins guy came in.
Don't nobody worry about me.
Oh my God. Kenny Loggins will be proud. It'll be the next follow on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you'll see one day when they have pictures of me. And with the paparazzi playing badminton with Kenny Loggins, he'll be like, well, I'll be damned. Kenny Loggins. This guy.
How does that actually speak today at badminton?
Jake made it. Finally made it. Jake.
I don't know. I would like to be on the opposite end of Kenny Loggins, like, and see him on the other end of a badminton court and being like, I'm not afraid of this guy, dude.
And just think how unexpected that would be. It's not like, I'll challenge you to football games. It's badminton. Let's
badminton,
go, man.
Yeah.
It's like racquetball. If you ever played racquetball, that's freaking intense.
But maybe I should know better. I mean, when somebody says is that specific about
their
sport,
that's not something maybe you challenge.
Like, yeah, you're right. Maybe you shouldn't be like, oh, I got this. You know, it's so male.
He's great at golf.
It's like, oh, this chick's an MMA fighter. You're like, hey, it's a chick. I got this. Like, no, you don't. This chick's going to kick the shit out of you. You know what I mean?
Halfway through the statement, you're sleeping and you're like, what happened? She knocked you out.
Yeah, she knocked you the fuck out because she's a fighter and you're just a fucking dude who eats cheeseburgers. You know, like,
you can handle it. You got that. I'm sure all the MMA chicks are just do these. I've watched, man. Do you watch UFC or MMA?
No. I wish I could. I can't get into it. You know, like, if I'm at a place and people are watching it, right. But I won't go somewhere for an event for it. You know what I mean?
If I knew,
just
like,
to watch
the only
it.
Reason I really watched was like Brock Lesnar when he was fighting. I watch wrestling, so I'm like, oh my, Brock Lesnar's gonna kill some people. And then he lost. I'm like, okay, I'm never going to be an MMA fighter, because if he lost, I'm not going to stand a chance. Not that I ever wanted to.
MMA is a crazy thing, you know, because it's becoming more popular. Like, right. I did a club in Little Rock, and, you know, it's full house, and then this, like, really drunk redneck, you know, talking shit. And then, like, the bouncer, he's maybe your size, goes up to the dude, and he's like, sir, I need you to keep
ripped,
it down.
Is what you're saying. It's pretty.
I'm saying he was probably 15 pounds lighter than you were.
Oh, okay, awesome. I'll take it.
And he goes up to the dude, sir, you need to keep it down. He's like a young guy, too, like 20. And this giant hillbilly. I'm not even nothing short less of 6'8". Enormous hillbilly dude.
Yeah.
Was like, which one of y'all gonna make me shut the fuck up? And so this kid was like, sir, I need you to step outside. And the guy's like, I'm about to fucking, and he's all grabbing him. And the kid pushes him and fucking turns into a situation. You see them both walk out the door. And then, like, before the door even closes, you hear this rumbling already happening. Because it's, like, on the outside of the door. And then give it about 3 minutes, door opens, and this kid comes strutting back through. And the entire crowd goes nuts, man. This dude was, like, 1.5 feet and 150 pounds bigger than this dude. And this kid kicked the shit out of that guy and handled him in minutes.
There's hope for me. I just got to learn to fight. See, I always tell people I grew up watching wrestling and Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles so I could handle myself. Right. But I've never been in a fight.
Like, oh, that, that kid's been, he's been doing the MMA since he was a little kid. You know, it's like his dad's into it and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So he's been doing it since he was like 7.
Yeah.
You know, that's 13 years of experience of fighting, dude. He fucking destroyed a hillbilly in like 3 minutes.
Went to train.
It was pretty impressive, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Jeez. I got to
watch one huge dude and a little dude go out the door, and then the door opens and the little dude comes back through strutting. That's an applause break.
Yeah, right, yeah. You just stop the show.
Yeah, I don't think you can follow that. You have to just address what happened. Be like, give it up for the baddest motherfucker you've ever seen.
Yeah.
All 135 pounds of them.
That's what I'm wet for. Just go start picking fights. And I'm like, I'm going to find you. Like, dude, it was horrible.
And that's what I'm
horrible
talking about. Like, fighting's changed that. You know, like, think about how many people know that. Like, I don't know how to, any holds. When I get anybody on the ground, I wouldn't know how to put them in a hold.
Yeah.
But if you watch enough of that, you might know how to put them in a hold, you know? Like, you know how it works, at least.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a fight? I've never been in a fight.
I've been in many fights.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've
won 17% of my fights, I just want to say. Numbers-wise, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I just get hit in the face repeatedly.
That's all right.
And I get hit, usually I get hit once, and then when I'm saying, don't hit me in the face, they usually hit me again.
Yeah. Hold on, I had a resolution for this. Why'd you have to hit me again?
But I have found that once a dude hits you in the face twice and you're completely unaffected and you're still talking, they're like, oh, dude, this guy can take a fucking punch. You know what I mean? Like, and then they respect you a little bit.
Yeah.
So, this is weird. I don't drink anymore, though, so I haven't been.
Yeah. See, that's my thing. Is like, I've never been in a fight, but I've never drank or anything. And I just feel like I could de-escalate a situation. But when there's, somebody's like drunk, you kind of pick your battles, but like I think I could de-escalate a problem well enough to not have to ever fight in my life, but hopefully it doesn't ever come to that.
You never do know, man. That's the thing. You gotta be ready to throw down.
And I think I always tell people, cause like it's like you just never know what people have, and that's I guess my biggest thing is why I would never throw down with anybody, cause you don't know if they're gonna knife or gun.
You know what though, I used to feel like that too. I was always like, if I was ever put in a situation, I wouldn't be. But then, you know, like I've been pushed downstairs by a couple of frat dudes, and you know, like I was like, that's hilarious, man. And then, like, when they get to the bottom of the stairs, I hit him in the face. It's like, now we can all laugh together.
Right,
you know, like,
we're all,
you see what I mean? So there are moments like that where it's like, oh, it's a fight, but it's, like, kind of funny. You know what I mean? Like, so, that's like, things like that, it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you know, things, it never, like, fights, you know, whatever. You know, I never took them that seriously.
Yeah.
But I had a dude come through my backyard recently.
Oh.
And I have a house now with, you know, I'm talking, I live with my girl.
Yeah.
And I have dogs and stuff, and this dude came through my yard stealing some, not my shit, but somebody else's shit.
Yeah.
He had a floor saw and a bike, and he's like, it's mine, sir. And I'm like, nobody even asked you, so let's just assume it's not, you know, like,
for the sake of it.
I'm sure you don't have a receipt, so let's just get.
He pulls that, and you're like, oh, okay.
Right, you just
touché.
Get the fuck out of my yard. How about that?
Right.
But, like, that's the only time in my head, I'm like, you know, because he's like, I'm sorry, sir, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So he's like, I don't want to destroy this dude, but in my mind, I'm like, had I not been here, you know, and it was just like, that's that part of you that, like,
well,
yeah, because we're talking about my family here, you know what I mean?
I think
so. There's that part, there's really that part of me was like, I really wanted to hurt a man, and I never felt like that before. Where every fight, I never even felt like that. Every fight, it seemed more like because I was drunk or in jest or trying to be funny, and somebody got too mad, and or I called a grown man a cunt, you know, and then he started swinging, and like, you know what I mean? I think I'm funny, but like, that's the only time where I felt that I was like, I felt that instinct of a male
just kicks in
to just
been
like, I will fucking kill this guy. And you know, like, and it never occurred to me, like, I was like, I knew how close I was to a baseball bat. And in my head, I'm already visualizing how many strokes through this guy's knee, because I know he can't get through my gate without going through the lock up top.
Right.
He's locked in my backyard, you know, I know it.
Yeah.
I think, and he's like, apologetic, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, sir. And I'm like, dude, just get the fuck out of my yard, you know. But I have to let him know, because in my brain, I'm like, if I ever find you in my yard again, you're never going to make it out of here, I promise.
Yeah, as soon as it starts coming in, because, I got a son and my wife, and you just, anytime anything's like that, I mean, it's crazy.
You know what exactly what happens.
Your head kicks in, and Shane, I'm sure you're something, you know.
You think about fights, you're like, fights,
Yeah, but...
Somebody coming into your fucking house, dude?
You go into protection mode. It's not about pride. Right. It's protecting my family.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It isn't about your ego and pride anymore. This is about, like, dude, this person's putting my family in danger. I will kill a motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
I never had, you know.
I got my ass beat by Kenny Loggins.
Right. What happened? Kenny Loggins whooped my ass, dude.
Kenny
turns
Loggins.
Out I fucking... Yeah. Turns out I was crossing through the danger zone.
Yeah. Oh, man. That'd be a good story for the guy. Yeah. That's hilarious. So... we'll kind of wrap up here again. I appreciate you coming out here.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're headlining is it all week here?
Yeah, I'll be here all week.
All week, ladies and gentlemen, all week. Yeah. at Westport Funny Bone, just from watching your hosting of the open mic, dude, is funny.
Thanks,
and,
man.
And enjoyed the energy you had. And again, I'm now a Christian because I found Jesus here.
Yeah.
Or just gonna go watch Top Gun.
You know what? And you're forgiven. Which means you can just, you have a clean slate
I'm
now. You
set.
Can start all over.
God, I wish I would have done more horrible things to make my slate better, but I'm just such a lame, boring guy.
Well, dude, I've known Shane for many a year here, man. He's been coming out to comedy because he's, like, been supporting the arts of every sign. I mean, as a matter of fact, Shane's turned me on to, like, music and musicians and shit, so, like...
Honestly, he is the biggest... I mean, he follows and supports so many, like...
Well, people need to give credit where credit's due. That Shane Presley knows his entertainment. That's the reality.
He does.
He knows quality entertainment.
That's why we're trying to do this, man. Trying to pull all my strings together, all these contacts I've made, these friends, and spotlight some people that deserve it. And,
right.
Hopefully, one day this will be a huge thing. So
I know.
And
well,
we don't talk about, like, Power Rangers, and I'm here.
Yeah.
Just in case something, you know. Right. That's what I'm here with, the backup, in case there's, like, hey, so that Ninja Turtles movie's
pretty good. Well, I mean, hopefully at some point, you know, there'll be someone out there who will understand the value of somebody who knows, number one, contacts and has quality entertainment and good taste and all of those things, and hopefully it'll give you a room to book, which would be nice, and you can bring in rotating door of all kinds of things and have a venue where you can book you can do your podcast. Not to say that here in the Westport Plaza with
the
birds
chirping.
I think
it's maybe the permanent...
it's pretty cool.
Permanent location, I should say.
For comedy, at least, you know. It's like... Sweet. And you can even see the Funny Bone from here.
Yeah. So you're on probably Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff?
Yeah, on Twitter at Jake Baker Comic.
Okay.
And on Facebook, it's just Jake Baker.
Yeah.
And it's like one of 8 million, so it's like a hunt. Good luck finding it. And
so
then,
follow Twitter, a little easier.
Right.
Find.
And then I'm on my website's jakebakercomic.com, which is pretty simple, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much it right there. And then NBA snaps, we talked about that.
Oh,
you know, if
NBA
you like
fans?
Professional basketball, only if you like professional basketball.
Maybe I'll check it out to see if I can get back into it. Because it's one of those things, I'm like, I wish I enjoyed it because I used to.
It is kind of, it's like soap opera-ish. You know, like, one thing that really helped me get into it was Hoops Hype, which is a website that, it's like the National Enquirer of the NBA world. And most of it's just conjecture and speculation from some guys like, my inside sources are telling me that this is like, dude, you don't have it. You're sitting in an office desperate to come up with anything right now.
Right.
Like, you could just be making shit up,
you
know, and it wouldn't matter right now, but you need something to put out there. So that's kind of what I do. It's called NBA Snaps. So
there you go.
It's one day you're going to see me in the NBA All-Star Game charity event. I'm going to be one of the celebrity of All-Star.
Awesome.
I'm going to fucking, and I'm going to probably take Bieber out if I can. Knee injury. I'm talking major ACL
one of those
repair. Like,
and just send him into the
like,
and he's down.
You know what I mean? Like, with the kind of the video clip where they just show it over and over and over and over again, you know? Like, he's got the money and the time to take off. And I'm not saying I'm like that. It's just the Larry Bird in me. It's not going to allow some punk
arises.
To school me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm old school. I'm going to drop a hip. You know what I mean? I'm going to step on a shoe.
Play the
you know?
Old
like,
man.
Dude, that's right.
Yeah.
I play with these dudes at USC. They're all like young kids, man. I'm like an old white dude out there. And they remind me. They're like, man, hey, you guarding Pau Gasol. You got Dirk Nowitzki. You got Luis Scola. I'm like, is it just any white guy with you guys?
Yeah.
You just name any white player?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty much.
That's
like,
what we do.
I guess so. Anyway, I keep talking. No.
No, you're totally
you keep
good.
Rapping.
No, you're good. It's cool. I'm just waiting for the hour mark. No, I'm just joking. So, yeah. Yeah, so the Westport.
We're at, what, 53?
Bone.
We're pushing 50, there.
We're pretty good. Not too bad. So.
Seven more? Actually, we're under 6.5 more.
Yeah, no, we're
You
good.
Really want to break it down. I know how long a closer works.
Yeah.
I see the light. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I asked for a 7-minute light, so I just got the light.
Yeah, no, you're totally good. We could talk for 2 hours if you want.
And just chop it up and take out the best, which would be
awesome. I mean,
too.
I just got to get raped. That's all
yeah,
there is
yeah,
to
yeah.
I mean, that's why I got to get out
well,
of here.
Well, you know, raping hours are almost due.
Yeah,
over.
We're going to lose all our rape fans.
I bet there's probably nobody even left in the plaza right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's train wrecks. Everybody knows this plaza is pretty empty now, man.
Yeah.
It looks like a ghost town, and since train wreck is kind of fashioned after a ghost town bar, they should just turn the whole place into a ghost town plaza, you know what I mean?
There you go.
We can call it the Westport Ghost Town.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hokey, but like maybe we could get the Jesse James Museum from over on I-44 and bring it up here. You ever seen that thing? Whose business idea was that? The Jesse James Wax Museum. Have you seen that shit?
We'll have so much.
It's closed, of course,
but
I mean, I don't know. I couldn't see why with a business plan like that. Somebody took their family's money and opened
it.
Like, there's going to be so many people here to see this wax museum of Jesse James. And
opening
the dude who
tomorrow.
Shot him while he wasn't looking, you know, like
opening tomorrow and nobody.
Dude, we've had our grand opening for 8 months and nobody showed up. Still,
they got one out. There's a Elvis like thing, a tiny little shack in like Wright City, off of Highway 70, and I don't know. I've never been in it, but like it's some sort of Elvis wax museum, and I can't imagine they have more than like one.
Yeah,
wax,
right.
You know, like. Because it's just a tiny little place. But
have you ever been to Sun Studio?
No.
You should go there, man. You would love it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like the stuff that they have there. They have so much Elvis stuff on there. I might have some. No, it's not on my phone anymore. Shit. they have really cool shit there, man.
And all the Johnny Cash stuff there and everything
else. Oh, man. It's unbelievable. It really is. That place is so cool. And then they have the microphone that Elvis recorded on. It's pretty badass. You can take a picture with it. Hold it and touch it.
Sing into it and you sound like Elvis. Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
If you hold it too long, you start becoming attracted to very young girls.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
But, you know, that's probably just a Presley thing anyway.
It just happens. Not a big deal. Sweet. Well,
so Shane was born with it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's genetic.
You can see it in his eyes. He's got it, that passion. Young ladies. Sweet. Well, Jake Baker, appreciate you coming on, man.
Absolutely,
fun,
dude.
And
rock, paper, skizzle. I'll be the skizzer.
You'll be the skizzer. The skizzer. Jeez. And for the record, we don't condone rape in any way.
No. First of all, it's never funny. Never funny.
For those people who are like, they're talking about rape. We're just playing around.
I mean, think about it, though. I mean, like, taxes is kind of a rape of sorts. You know, if you really want to break down.
That's how we're using it.
We're all, you know, like, our rights get raped consistently, you know, like.
Yeah.
So it's really what we're talking about is really it's more of a metaphor
for the federal government it's actions,
right? And for the way that the Westport Plaza spends money around a pond,
you
know, like it's like it's a thing about their budget, really,
so this hole that we're about to jump in, it's kind of deep now. We're pretty good. We're set. No, it's all good.
You can probably just fade out, you know what I mean? Like it's like, what is it?
Talking just gets quiet.
It's like, what are they even talking about? Nobody knows.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely, man. This was really fun.
Yeah. All right.
You know?
Go see Jake this weekend at the Funny Bone Westport.
Funny Bone. And you know, check it out on Funny Bone. What is it? STLFunnyBone.com. And then, you know, there's two locations now, and I'll be in Westport. Don't get confused. I was in Valley Park last week.
Right.
I'm in Westport all this week. So there's plenty of shows to come out. It's going to be a good time. I love St. Louis.
He'll be back, man. A badminton court here soon as well.
Yeah, man, I'm going to get my game down.
Down.
Kenny Loggins.
All right. Jake Baker, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.